Good morning. I'm so excited to preach this morning. All morning I'm like, I can't wait. This is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. And a couple weeks ago when Chaplain Jerry said, hey, preach on this other passage, I'm like, okay, good. Yeah, it's the Word of God. It's always good. Then he sent me an email about a week later and said, hey, we had to switch things up. Can you preach on this passage? And I'm like, woohoo! Yes, I'm so excited. So what I'd like you to do is, if you would, it might be a familiar passage. There's a very familiar verse in here. It's Romans 3, 21 to 31. But if you would, having your word, the word of God in your hands, to me is critical, essential. So if you would, open your Bibles. If you have a pew Bible, it's on page 1114 in the NIV there. But I want to read this to us in a new light. I'm going to change up two words. So I want you reading so you kind of see where the flow goes. But I'm going to change two words, because these two words are central to the whole passage. And I'm going to kind of switch things up a little bit. The word I'm going to switch up is the word righteousness or justify. I'm going to switch to the word right. And then the word faith, very common word, I'm going to switch to the word trust. And I want you to see how this thing flows, all right? So I hope you're with me, Romans 3, 21. It says, now the rightness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the rightness of God through trust in Jesus the Messiah for all who are trusting. For there is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are made right by grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation, a substitute by his blood, to be received by trust. This was to show God's rightness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. That was to show his rightness now at the present time, so that he might be right and the one who makes others right by trust in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It's excluded. By what kind of principle? By a principle of works? No, but by the principle of trust. For we hold that one is made right by that trust, apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles? Well, he is, yes. Because God is one who will make right the circumcised by trust, and he will make right the uncircumcised by trust. Do we then overthrow the law by this trust? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. So whenever God repeats himself, and I'll get to this in a minute, when God repeats himself, you got to listen. My ears perk up, my antenna, I guess I'm from Mars, my antenna perk up, and I'm like, oh, what's God doing? What's God? Because this whole idea of righteousness or rightness and faith are just so beautifully woven together by Paul here. So let me start with a quick word of prayer, and we'll jump on in. Have some fun this morning. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. Show us what it means to be right, that you are right, and we need to get right. And Lord, we need to trust you to get there. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Righteousness and the Big Green Head. One of my favorite movies growing up of all time was The Wizard of Oz. And this movie now is like 85 years old. It's the first color movie that came out. And a lot of young people were kind of freaked out by the little flying monkeys. I'm like, it looks like people on a string. You know, it wasn't real. I knew it wasn't real. But one thing that I thought was really interesting was when we got to this scene, right? When Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Cowardly Lion and the Scarecrow get to see the Wizard of Oz. And it's this massive green head with flames going all over the place. And I'm thinking, wow, that's really cool. That wizard is awesome. Until the curtain got pulled back, right? And they saw the wizard for who he really was, just a normal person behind a curtain pulling some levers. Oddly enough, in this passage, that's what the word right or righteousness means. It means that something has been pulled back to be revealed for what it really is. When you drill down into the word righteous, yes, it means holy, it means pure, it means perfectly good, but it has this idea that something has been revealed for its true nature. Wizard of Oz was faking the funk, right? He was pretending to be this big green head with flame. But when the curtain got pulled back, we got to see who he really was. And that, you know, full disclosure, for me in my life, that's kind of my fear, my private fear, is that somebody's going to find out that really, you know, like Heather was saying, I mess things up. I'm not perfect. You know, if the curtain gets pulled back in my life, people will see who I really am. And I don't have it all together. I don't know if that's like you, but that's who I am. But when we pull the layers back on God, we find layer after layer, he's consistent to the core. He is pure. He is holy. He is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Righteousness is pureness and holiness and rightness, and God never changes. Does that make sense? Righteousness and the big green head, that God is pure and good. Now, I want to tell you a story this week. I've got a colleague at work, and she came up to me and she said, "Tell me what it means to be a Christian." And I said, "Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what it means to be a Christian. It means that I'm not good enough to get heaven, so Jesus died in my place. And that his righteousness, his perfectness was given to me, and all of my sins were laid on him." And she said, "Really?" She said, "I always thought it was a scale. That if my good deeds outweighed my bad deeds," right? Yeah, you've heard this before. "That's how I'm going to get into heaven." And that's really what Paul's talking about in this passage, is that no matter how good you think your good deeds are, I'm not going to say what this emoji is here on the right, but you can put a crown on it. You can dress it up, but it's not going to change that emoji. Those are my good deeds, and I don't have anything that's going to commend me to heaven. All of my deeds are really not so good, and they're going to far outweigh my empty stuff on the left. In fact, this is a biblical term in Philippians 3:8, right? It says, all of my good stuff is rubbish. And the word there in the old original language is skubalos, which is the emoji on the right, right? So it's a biblical word. Even Paul used that emoji in Philippians 3:8. You can look it up. So I'm in a bad place without Christ. I'm sharing with my friend that things aren't going to go well. If I stand before God without Jesus, things are not going to go well. In fact, what I love about this passage is it's really the pivot for all of Romans. And I'm excited to hear Chaplain Wheatley next week take it to the next level for what happens with Abraham and how this thing develops. But this is where everything happens in this passage. Because we've heard in the beginning of the passage how bad things are. No one's righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks after God. All have turned aside. Everybody's worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat's an open grave. You're like, "Wow, Chaplain, that's exciting. Thanks. I want to come to church more often." Their feet are swift to shed blood. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's our problem, our no rightness apart from Christ. So Paul tells us here how to get from this everybody's terrible apart from Christ to what it means to be a Christian. The rightness of God. Paul mentions it 9 times here in this passage. And then when God repeats himself, we need to listen. Now, I want to define what rightness is or righteousness is here for God. It's what conforms to the character and nature of God. Anything that conforms to the character and nature of God is right, is pure, is holy, is good. And from the beginning of Romans 3, we find out that's not me. Remember the scale? You know, I'm sitting in the middle of that scale on the right. And it's what expresses God's will for a right life for me. So righteousness for me is a great possibility when it's held in front of me, when I see that I don't have it, when I see that God has it, then I realize my need. Man, how do I get that? Well, I'm glad you asked. That's in this passage. So the huge problem. See if I can get this. There we go. What's our huge problem? It's a very familiar verse, Romans 3:23. For how many have sinned? All have sinned. And you've heard the familiar illustration that sin means to fall short. It's like it's an archery term that if you're shooting at a target, you're going to miss every time. We all sin. But it's worse than that. When I thought about it, I'm like, well, at least I can see the target. I think of it as like I'm trying to shoot the moon with a handgun. I'm not even going to come close. It's hundreds of thousands of miles away, and my little bullet's going to go, you know, a couple of meters, and that's it. I'm not going to make it apart from Christ. And even to add a little bit more insult to my injury, everybody has sinned, and then when it says that they fall short, I want to tell you a true story. Back in high school, I moved my senior year of high school from New Jersey to Ohio. My two best friends now, my senior year in Ohio, spring, we're getting ready to graduate, they're running track. Okay, I've never run track a day in my life. You know, I'm supposed to be in front of a plow in Poland, right? That's how I'm genetically wired. I'm not supposed to be running nothing unless someone's chasing me. And then I go and join the army. That's another story. So I'm so bad as an 18-year-old senior, I'm on the JV team. I mean, I am, all my pride is gone. I'm humbled. I'm on the JV squad, and we're at this track meet. I'm running the 440. That's another story. So I'm running a quarter-mile race, and we're going through these heats, and guess what place I came in? I came in tied for eighth out of nine people. So we had to have a runoff to see who was the worst. And so in some bizarre twist of fate, I won the race to see who's the worst. So we had this runoff in this heat. So I'm in the eighth lane in a JV heat. And I asked my coach, I said, what do I do? And he said, well, you're going to be out in front, but not for long. Because you're on the outside lane, right, for the way things start. And I realized that's the word here. You see, I'm not even in the picture. Falling short means that you're the winner at being last in righteousness. You're the winner at being last. I'm the winner at being last when it comes to righteousness. That's Romans 3:23. Everybody, all of us have sinned. We fall short. We're the winners at being the worst. Until we get to this marvelous, this is the pivot. Verse 24 is where everything swings. We know 23, right? All of sin to fall short of the glory of God. And, not but, and. You got to link them. Here's what you get. Here's where everything changes. Here's where the doors swing wide open. Man, I don't have righteousness. My mouth's an open grave. Everybody's dying. I'm the first at the worst. But Larry, you are made right by his grace as a gift. Oh, isn't that beautiful? I mean, all of Romans 1 and Romans 2 and Romans 3 are just teeing this up, this one verse, because we've seen how bad everybody is and things are growing bad in Romans 1. We get to Romans 3. We're going to find out later what it means to be a Christian in Romans 4 and how to live it out in 6 and 7 and 8. But here's the pivot verse that we get this marvelous, I get to be made right. It's the first time it happens in all of Scripture here. We find that God makes me right. And what's interesting about this verb, and words matter, is that it's passive. I don't make me right. If I'm first at the worst, I can't make myself the best. So it has to be outside of me where God does it. And if God doesn't do it, it ain't going to happen. So in verses 24 and 28, we find that God is the one who does it. I am made right. I am justified by him. We find in verse 24, it's by his grace. We see in verse 28, for we hold that one, you, is justified by trust, by faith. And then we find that God is active in doing it in verses 26 and 30. He is the one that makes us right. So I want to explain something to you. Ends, ways, and means. This happens when you see in that famous verse, in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you're saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not as a result of works, so no one's bragging about it. Imagine I want to go to San Francisco. I've got a brand new 2018, Kathy, what's my favorite car? Oh, a minivan. You're awesome. No. I'd love a Corvette Stingray. If anybody has one they don't know what to do with, hand it over. Oh, man, that's just such a gorgeous waste of money. So if I wanted to get to San Francisco in a brand new Corvette Stingray, my destination is San Francisco. I am the driver. The way to get there is the car. Why does this matter? Destination, agent, driver, and how I get there, the car. Justification is our destination. God is the driver, and faith is the means. So, why does that matter? It matters because only the grace of God is what can get me there. Only the grace of God is what can get me there. I can get in the car and drive, but only if it's God's doing. And my faith is the vehicle that takes me to that righteousness. So we're going to see this in a little bit, but I want you to imagine that I'm standing on a chair up here, and all of my weight is on this chair. Now, if the chair breaks, what's going to happen? I'm going to crash and burn, right? I'm going to fall to my face. But if the chair is trustworthy, it will hold me up. That's the word for faith that happens also 9 times in this passage. Righteousness happens 9 times. Faith happens 9 times. Because you get righteousness through that vehicle of faith. You have to trust. You have to believe that God is good and that he will give you his righteousness. All right, so what now, chaps? I'm glad you asked. You're standing on that chair committing yourself to God's righteousness. Are you right with God? Where are you today? Do you have his righteousness, or are you trying to trust in your own scubalas? Your own emoji. Because only God can give it to you. And only by trusting that Jesus died in your place and rose again on your behalf, where he takes your sins and he gives you his righteousness, his rightness, that's the only way it's going to happen. Where are you this morning? Are you faithing? Are you trusting? Is all of your life and all of your eternity on the rightness of God? Are you standing completely on that trustworthy object of your faith that God can do it for you? What's interesting in this passage is that it's not just in the past tense where you say, yeah, I gave my life to Christ in April of 1982. I give my life to him every single day. I not only got his righteousness once and for all, I'm being made right into the image of Jesus every day. I didn't just trust him once and for all. I did, but I trust him every single day. It's a once and for all and a keep on going. Does that make sense? Both senses, both tenses are in this passage. Both are once and for all and both are daily. What's really cool today, and I thought this was just a beautiful transition, and as our communion folks come forward to get ready to help us with the elements, as we celebrate the body and blood of Christ together as his body, we are eating and drinking a wonderful picture of that righteousness of God, that he is both just and the justifier of the one who trusts in Jesus. That God couldn't wink at our sin and go, well, it's okay, just bring your emoji on in. He said, no, I have to maintain my holiness, my rightness. And at the same time, he made us right by having Jesus die on the cross in our place and rise again on our behalf. When you take that bread, you're saying, Jesus died for me. And when you drink that cup, you're saying, his blood has washed away all of my sins, and I am righteous only because of that. Does that make sense? What a beautiful thing that we get to celebrate this morning. Let me pray for our time. Lord, thank you that you make us right by faith in Jesus, and that we get to celebrate this morning. We get to have a little mini party to celebrate and to worship what you have done in Jesus, that he has made us right. The one perfect person in all of human history has made all of us right by faith. Lord, we love you. Continue to make us right every day until you take us home or come again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.